Knowledge is like a baobab tree. No one individual can embrace it. Ladies and gentlemen, knowledge is not complete if it's acquired and never shared. We learn, we teach, then knowledge evolves.
Hey Pawnees, my name is Ndimane Rapori and I'm the founder of Youth Evolve. We are back on podcast and on this particular episode, we will be discussing everything accounting. I am joined by our CEO, Deboho, and our financial director, Edson. Stay tuned and learn more. Enjoy.
Thank you, Ndi. Thank you so much for this platform. My name is Deboho. I am the CEO of Youth Evolve. My journey started, I was good in accounting, hence I followed the route of being an accountant throughout. I did with SIPA. As you know, there's a lot of accounting bodies, but I chose SIPA rather than SICA. I started working as a trainee accountant at Lloyd Fulgeon Auditors. Then after my articles, I moved on to the law firm, the law side of things. I went to be an accountant there, then I grew into being a senior accountant, then financial manager. Then recently, I'm head of finance for SIPA at GMI. Today, I'll be presenting on how to become a professional accountant with SIPA. Thank you so much.
Okay. How are you, colleagues? How are you, friends? Everyone joining from different platforms. My name is Edson. I'm the finance director at Youth Evolve. Just a little about me as a finance person. I've got a CASA charter, and then I've got an MBA. I've worked both in government and in the private sector. I've worked in the audit space. I still do auditing, and I also work as a finance business partner for telecom subsidiary called BCX, and I think just not to bore you with too much details, that's me. I'm a bit fluish today. I hope you forgive me for that, but I hope I'll also be able to make myself clear when I put up my presentation to talk about the journey of becoming a chartered accountant and what is expected of you and what to get out of the profession as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your introduction. I'm excited to learn more as well about the accounting profession. With no further ado, Deboho, the stage is yours.
Thank you, Zama. Sorry, Ndi. I will start presenting now, sharing my screen. Can you guys see my screen now?
Not yet, Deboho.
Sure. Better now?
Yeah, all right. See now.
Thank you so much. So I will be discussing becoming a professional accountant SA. Like I mentioned, I am a professional accountant SA and an MBA. So in this route, you finished your university and you want to start on the first phase of your career. Where to from here? There are three steps to qualify to become a professional accountant SA. Academic, that's one. Number two is register as a trainee. And number three, you write your PE assessment. Academic requirement, the point number one. You must hold a bachelor's of commerce degree or equivalent with the following requirement course subject from SIPA accredited tertiary institutions. You qualify to register as a trainee member with SIPA. The bachelor's degree that you must do must include the following subject: financial accounting 3, taxation 1, auditing 1, internal auditing 2, internal control and code of ethics, corporate law 1 and commercial law 2, and management accounting. to register as a trainee. Once you've completed your degree, you will need to obtain practical experience by completing a 3-year learnership with SIPA accredited training centers. If you click on this link, you will see all the training centers that are accredited with SIPA. This is where you're going to do your articles to gain suitable professional accounting experience. Practical experience can also be obtained by completing a learnership of any other professional body. Professional evaluation assessment. This is the exams that you're going to write once you've completed your degree and also completed your training. Once you've successfully completed your degree and your 3-year learnership, you will be required to write the SIPA professional evaluation. They call it a PE assessment, which is written twice a year in June and in November. SIPA facilitates an 18-week project achiever course for candidates writing the PE assessment. So you can get into this program to prepare yourself for the exam. Once successfully declared competent with the PE assessment, you will need to pay the membership fee and become a member under your category or specialization. Benefits of being a SIPA member. You become part of a network of over 10,000 like-minded members in the accounting profession. You have access to regular CPD events to keep you up to date with the latest information in your area of expertise. Access inclusive membership benefits negotiated just for you. You obtain international recognition through SIPA affiliations with International Accounting Institute, enabling you to practice in affiliate countries. You hold a level 8 NQF qualification, instantly qualified for professional indemnity PI insurance. Depending on the designation you hold, you can perform a number of functions and issues reports in terms of Companies Act, Close Corporation Act, Micro Lending, Industry Regulations, Sectional Title Act, Nonprofit Organization Act, and Schools Act, and be as a Commissioner of Oath. Thank you so much. That was my presentation. I will stop sharing now.
All right. Thank you for that, Teboho. Edson, it's your turn.
Thank you very much. I'm just going to put up my screen now. Right. Let's see if that goes. Let me know if you can see my screen.
Yes, you can see it.
If I try to put my deck in presentation mode, I want to see if you guys will be able to see it. Can you see still my presentation?
Yes.
All right, perfect. Okay, thank you very much, friends. I'm going to be talking more about the route of qualifying as a chartered accountant, and a little bit about qualifying as an auditor as well. So just as a status, I thought let me share with you what exactly is a chartered accountant, just to have some sort of a background. So from a chartered accountant, we are looking at a person who is supposed to be high performing, forward thinking, professional, who can be relied on. A CASA should be a highly respected professional with deep financial expertise and broad business insight. And sometimes we just hear CASA and we don't really know what it means. It might happen that way. It means Chartered Accountant South Africa. In some places, they call that you hold a CA charter. For one to hold a CA charter, we're going to also speak about the process of getting to that. A chartered accountant should be able to lead at the highest level of business, as CEOs, financial directors, board directors, business owners, strategic senior management. They should also be able to have some deep understanding of complex financial, technical, and operational concepts to shape their strategic direction of the organization, and often creating long-term value for organization, communities, and economies. So these are professionals who are strategic players in the industry. And you will find that with this little introduction, being a chartered accountant does not really close you to the finance area of things only. You are also very much involved in business, even up to the CEO level. What is it that you have to expect from a CA? And like we indicated at the top, chartered accountants are supposed to be responsible business leaders. And one of the key tenets of SAICA code is that all CASA must act in the best interest of the public and the country. So how do this get achieved? In the process of qualifying as a chartered accountant, you also need to demonstrate that you are able to comply with the SAICA code. And the SAICA code is going to govern how you are going to conduct yourself as a chartered accountant. A chartered accountant is supposed to have versatile skills and a skill set for today and for the future. That means it's a continuous learning process. You don't learn it once and then it's all done, because you're going to have some sort of influence in diverse and spans that diverse and spans across public and private sector, as well as variety of industries. So there's high expectations for a chartered accountant for one to just assume that I qualify once, then I'm done with studying, and I don't have to continue to develop myself. So you would also realize that as a chartered accountant, you are expected to enroll yourself into what is termed the CPD, which is continuous professional development. So every year you need to demonstrate to SAICA that you have done something to enhance, to improve, and to maintain relevance of your qualification and your knowledge. And if you can meet those requirements, you will be removed as a member of SAICA and as a chartered accountant. It also an investment in human capital. So if you want to invest in being a CASA, from your own point of view, you have developed yourself, and also for the those that have developed you, they're also going to benefit in that process. So in that way, the CASA designation remains one of the world's most prestigious career choices and presents various career progression opportunities. CASAs invest in considerable effort to earn the CA designation. They undergo extensive education training and qualifying examination criteria, making them a cut above most, if not the rest of the professionals in the accounting space. So I need to emphasize that to be a CASA, we have to undergo extensive education, training, and qualifying and examination process. It's indeed extensive. It's not something that you just walk in and you don't really have to apply your mind and say, what exactly am I doing? So we'll also talk about that as we go through the process. So let's open our account in terms of how exactly you go about becoming a chartered accountant. It actually starts from high school. You prepare yourself from high school. You don't just say, okay, now I'm at varsity, what can I do now? I can be a chartered accountant. You can be fortunate to be take the chartered accounting route when you had not prepared for it from high school, but that would be coincidental because you would have carried the right subjects when you did your matric. But for you to be purposeful, you need to make sure that at high school you have got pure maths, and we are not talking about maths lit here. That's pure maths, and you need to have your English, and you need to also to have your accounting as part of your subjects. If you don't have accounting, it is going to make it more difficult for you. You may find that you may need an additional year to make sure that you've got a good accounting background at varsity. But for you to save yourself from that, you need to have your accounting from the beginning. At the end of the day, universities have got different entry requirements. You might find that some might require more than what I've mentioned here, which is maths, English, and accounting. And you need to have successfully completed and passed those subjects with good marks. 50% is a pass, but you have to ask yourself if you want to go and enroll at WITS, is 50% going to be enough? Because they might tell you that there's already enough students that have got 80% and above. So you need to always to make sure that you have got the right kind of marks for you to enroll into the qualification. Then after high school, obviously, that's when you start talking about going to university. So I've got a chart here that summarizes a lot, quite a lot about the process from varsity level and all the way up until you qualify as a chartered accountant. So the first thing here after my high school is that you apply to study PCOM accounting or an equivalent degree at a SAICA accredited university. I think that's one area that most learners that are coming from disadvantaged background, they don't realize that it's the university that you are going needs to be a SAICA accredited university. In most cases, you find the guys, they just go and enroll for accounting at any university, and then they don't realize that it needs to be SAICA accredited. And the fortunate thing is that when I was preparing this presentation and I looked and tried to find out how many universities are accredited, I find that there are quite a lot now these days. I think they go to about 20 now. At a time when I did my varsity, there were only 11 universities accredited in South Africa, which means there were quite few. And we're most likely going to go to a university that is not accredited. But you need to actually check if your dream is to become a chartered accountant, even if you are still studying at a university, check with your head of department whether the university is accredited by SAICA, so that you start to prepare to transition from the qualification that you are going to get from in an accredited university to an accredited university. You might find that maybe you might need an additional year at an accredited university if you are studying at an unaccredited university. If you are studying full-time, then it means that you need to complete all your qualification, and for you to complete your qualification, it might take you 4 years at a minimum, because that is the 3 years of the bachelor's qualification or equivalent, and then an additional year to complete what they call PGDA, which is postgraduate diploma in accounting. It's also called CTA in other universities, a certificate of theory in accounting, or it's called also honors in other universities. So 4 years, that's the minimum if you are succeeding in each and every academic year and you are not interrupted by anything. Then after completing your qualification, I'll come back to the aspect if you are not studying full-time, right, so that we don't get disturbed. If you are studying full-time and you've completed your qualification and you've got your CTA or your postgraduate diploma in accounting, you need to enter into a training contract, which is ordinarily a three-year training contract. And you enter your training contract with an accredited training office, which is also SAICA accredited training office. So who is this SAICA accredited training office? Is the accounting or auditing firms. The bigger ones, those are the KPMGs, the PwCs, the Deloitte, and the Ernst & Young. But there are so many of them as well, the smaller ones as well, that one can enroll in, that they can enter into a contract with. It is also quite key there that if your intention is to qualify as a chartered accountant, you have to ask if the accounting firm is accredited by SAICA. Either they already have to display in their offices that they're an accredited training office, or they have to indicate to you in a way or another that they are actually accredited. And one way of seeing that without having to ask anyone is that when you sign your training contract, you are also going to have to sign another contract with SAICA. So you see a contract that you have to sign with SAICA, which is facilitated by the training office. Obviously, it will be in a SAICA logo, and it will indicate that SAICA is registered, that there is an individual who has started a training contract at this particular training office or a particular audit firm. That is actually quite key to take note. when you have started your training contract, during the first month of your training contract, you have to write and pass the ITC. That is called the initial test of competence. If you just read in the words, initial test of competence, the intention of SAICA in administering that exam is to make sure that each and every individual that is entering into a SAICA training contract has got some level of competence for them to enter into that route. That's why you do it at the beginning of the of your training contract. And the reason also of that is that they want to benchmark everyone who's coming from different universities. If for any reason you have been able to pass by luck at your university, maybe your lecturers there were your relatives or your friends that were giving you marks for free, the ITC is more or less like the exam that you write when you do your CTA or your PGDA. It's more or less the same exam. That's why it's just immediately after you write your training contract, you sign your training contract. So it's basically to benchmark and to for SAICA to be comfortable that you are prepared and you do not arrive there by chance. And as part of that process, you need to enroll yourself on a professional program that is called the board course. This professional program is just there to prepare you to write the ITC. So it's just some sort of an extension or an additional lectures that we have to do to be prepared for ITC. They are providers of that professional program. As long as you have successfully completed your PGDA or CTA, you should be able to enroll into that professional course. And normally your training office will pay for that professional course, so you don't have to pay anything on top, depending on the nature of your training contract. But usually your training office will pay for that. apologies, guys. So I did warn that I am fluish today, so I'll be coughing now and again. And I apologize for that. Right. So after you've successfully completed your ITC, you continue in your training contract for 20 months. Remember, your training contract is 36 months. If you have come via the route of having done your degree on a full-time basis and completed it and started your training contract. So 20 months into your contract, you will be eligible to write the second qualifying examination, which is called APC. The first one that you write as soon as you step into your training contract is called ITC, initial test of competence. Now we are going to the APC, which is the assessment of professional competence. The purpose of this exam basically is to test if you have mastered the skills during the 20 months and the necessary skills that is making you ready for the industry. So you are almost halfway through your training contract. Actually, you are above half of your training contract, and SAICA needs to know if you are on track to complete your training contract. So you write also the what is called the APC. You also enroll for a professional program. I'll speak to that later in the next slide in terms of the details of that. And then after completing your APC, then when your 6 months, your 36 months is completed, that means you have now completed the remaining months of your contract after your APC. You have now 36 months of contract. You become eligible to write or to register for, rather to become a chartered accountant after 36 months of contract. There's also another silent features that are also in there. Remember, it's not just 36 months of contract where you're just sitting in the office. You don't go to any clients. You don't really get trained properly. It's not, you just have to be there. There is also another assessment tool that they use to assess if you are ready to register. You will not get signed off to register as a CASA if you don't meet certain competencies that are expected of a chartered accountant. On top of that, you also need to complete about 3,600 hours at a client, at clients, in which you are doing client-facing work. So if it happens that you just sit at the office and do nothing and making copies and things like that, that does not count. It needs to be proper 3,600 hours at a minimum that we need to complete. Okay. I'm just going to go back a little bit. I wish I had a pointer here. I see there's a pointer that I can use maybe to make it easy. Yeah. So the route that I was explaining is the route that came all the way this way and all the way like this up until you become chartered accountant. So there's another alternative route that you have to go this way. That means you, from your high school, you decided not to go to full-time university, but you decided to go straight to start working and register as a trainee accountant or register for articles. Still, you need to make sure that you are registering. Your training contract is with an accredited training office. What then happens here is that instead of spending 3 years of training to complete your training contract or articles, you spend 5 years. And during those 5 years, you still need to complete your PGDA, which is a postgraduate diploma in accounting. That means you're studying part-time, maybe with UNISA, that's what others do. You need to complete that PGDA, and or which is also ITC, CTA. After that, you still need to also complete your ITC, and you need also to complete your APC. But your training contract now is no longer 3 years, but it's 5 years. So normally this route is not really much advisable, but sometimes circumstances might lead you to go that route. Maybe find that some people are a bit older, they didn't get a chance to spend much time at the university, or they cannot afford to go to the university, and then they go those routes. The only challenge with it is that it's difficult to study and work at the same time, because the qualification BCom and CTA, they are very difficult and demanding. So they require a lot of your time. So you might find that instead of the 5 years of training contract that you would have signed for a year, you might end up spending 7-8 years. But still, it's an alternative that one can choose depending on their circumstances. And then after that, obviously, it goes through the whole process again, where you can also be able to complete your articles. Okay. The other alternative as well is that when you enrolled at a training contract and you have completed your ITC, you can say, I want to do what is called academic articles. That means those are articles that prepares you to be a lecturer. So what SAICA allows you to do is that instead of spending the whole 3 years at the training office doing audit at clients and other related work, you can spend a year at a university where you'll be doing some sort of lecturing and support of lecturers in accounting, in the accounting area. There's an assessment tool that they also use to check if you have get exposure and access to relevant and sufficient competencies for you to be able to be ready to continue with this path again. It doesn't lengthen your process to qualify as a chartered accountant. If you register for 3-year contract, it will still be 3 years contract, but you just save spend 12 months as an academic articles clerk. So that is the chart, that is the roadmap in a in one view. I see your time is running out, so I'm also going to be trying to move a bit quicker. So we did talk about the APC and the professional program that you have to enroll in to complete your to assist you in completing your APC, which is assessment of professional competency. So that's the part that I wanted to highlight a bit further here. So APC is the second part of the your qualifying examination in your route to become a chartered accountant. So your eligibility obviously is first being successful in your ITC and having completed your 20 months of contract at a SAICA registered training office. APC, which is assessment of professional competence, is written electronically using e-writing tool. So it's no longer the usual way of writing it. They've modernized it. But candidates may apply to have some sort of an exemption or concession if they find this process to be not suitable for them for any reason. So it doesn't really discriminate those that are not able to use the e-writing. So how long is the professional program for? The professional program is, once you do the professional program, you actually be awarded a certificate that you've completed the professional program that is readying you to write the APC. So if you've successfully completed your professional program and you did not complete or pass your APC first time, you can still use it for 3 years. So you can still go and write APC 3 times using one professional program certificate. After 3 years, then you need to go back again and start the process all over again in terms of enrolling for the professional program. It doesn't really say you need to do your articles again or you need to register for a training contract again. It's just that you need to refresh your professional program certificate, which is sort of a training for you to complete your APC. I'm not going to cover much on how did the markers determine the level of competency, but I'm just going to highlight that what is key in the APC is that it's no longer like your traditional exam. It's assessing your competence in terms of your ability to do the work, your ability to demonstrate professionalism and competence in certain tasks. So it's more a practical exam. In which you are given a scenario, and then you need to consistently apply your competency and your eligibility to be competent in certain scenarios for you to be able. So that kind of a demonstration is the one that they assess to determine whether you are actually competent. So it's not the usual exam where you just have to be given and say, calculate balance sheet or things like that. This one is actually a more practical assessment. Okay. Now, once you've successfully completed you become a chartered accountant, you also be ready to register as an auditor. But before you can register as an auditor or become eligible to register as an auditor, you need to do what is called the audit development program. So just to emphasize that just qualifying as a chartered accountant does not make you an auditor. There's still a process that you need to go through for you to be a qualified auditor. During your process of qualifying as a chartered accountant, you do a lot of auditing, but it does not make you an auditor. A registered auditor is someone who can be able to sign the audit reports. You can do audit, but someone can actually sign the audit report and validate that it is actually the audit procedures have been done in terms of what is expected and things like that. But for you to become a registered auditor, you need to do what is called the audit development program. So Like I indicated, once you qualify as an accountant, you qualify for audit development program. The audit development program is for is a period of work experience undertaken by a qualified accountant or CASA. It gives you the work experience that enables the development of a professional to be competent in the workplace, to actually be able to perform audit procedures. So a professional will actually be able to demonstrate competence in auditing by going through the audit development program. So it's sort of an additional training program that we need to go through, and this covers a period of 18 months. And it requires about 1,500 productive hours in which you need to complete for you to be able to be eligible to register as an auditor. And you register as an auditor not with SAICA, but with IRBA, which is Independent Regulatory Body of Auditors. Right? I think we've covered that. What are some of the golden rules, in my view, for you to be successful in this whole journey of becoming a chartered accountant? I think when you start from a varsity level, you need to reduce the number of friends that you actually be able to help you concentrate on your studies. I would also advise that don't get married, especially when you are third year going forward up until you finish your articles and write your board exams, which is your ITC and the PC, and finish your articles. I would advise don't get married, don't get children, don't get into new relationships. You know, if you've got a relationship that you're always having before, you can continue with it, but don't get into new relationships, things that can actually be able to disrupt you from your studies. Marriage can also be very disruptive. Children also comes with a lot of commitments and responsibilities. You need to work very hard. You need to make a lot of sacrifices. If you're someone who likes to watch a lot of soapies and movies and sports, you might find that you need to cut a lot of that from your daily schedule. You need to also to rest enough, even though you're working hard, but you need to provide yourself enough rest. One secret as well is that you need to study very hard before your exams, but a day before your exam, you might find that you need to give yourself at least half day where you are not doing anything, just resting. You need to rest because your exam is going to ask you things that it will require by your mind to be fresh, because you are going to be doing a lot of analytical thinking and applying solutions to different problems, and that requires you to be fresh. So don't study the one night and go to the exam. You might find that that might not really work. You need to pray and believe. Prayer and belief is quite important because there are certain things that are going to disappoint you in the process. Sometimes you get marks that are going to be very disappointing. But if you're a prayerful person, then someone who believes, you know that, you know what, today I got 10%, but I can do it, I can do better. That is also quite key. You need to be disciplined, don't miss class. You need to be proper with your time management. The exam is going to require a lot of time and concentration. You need to revise and practice, and you need to interact with your educators so that you actually be able to get more information to prepare yourself for the exams. You have a study plan, which will help you to prepare for lectures and also for you to review your work after lectures. Be prepared for cultural shocks. You realize that when you start varsity, if you're coming from high school, there's also a culture shock that might disrupt you from your studies. And you need sort of to be prepared for that so that you don't get distracted. You know that things are going to change. Also, when you go to workplace, there are also going to be some shocks that they're going to experience there. You need to have the flexibility to quickly adapt, not just to conform, but actually to be able to see things differently so that you see how best you can be able to manage the environment. So those are the shocks that can actually disrupt you and end up wondering, I've been doing so well at high school, but I can't do well at varsity because of culture has disrupted you and there are many shocks. Or I've been doing so well at varsity, but I can't do so well in terms of articles. You need to prepare yourself about that. So you need to think outside of the box and renew approach as you go along so that you find a way of getting over these things. Right, what are some of the technical skills and professional skills the competence framework that is designed by SAICA and also expected for chartered accountants and auditors. Once you have completed your qualification as a chartered accountant and also as an auditor, you'll find that you need to, you will become a person who should be an expert in accounting and external reporting. You should be able to demonstrate professional conduct. You should be able to demonstrate management and leadership. There are certain professional attributes that you need to be carrying, and you should be able to competent in information technology and audit and assurance, financial management. You should be able to also demonstrate competence in management, decision making and control, taxation, risk management, and governance. When you look at the SAICA training program, it actually provides expansive information on this aspect. Okay. Thank you very much. That is the end of my presentation. I hope you enjoyed, and I hope I managed to cover sufficient information for you to guide you guys in making a decision in this profession. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Edson. That was quite very informative.
Thank you.
So I have some few questions. I think some of the questions I've already posed to the speakers. I think I posed one to Teboho already on the chat. You can't respond. I was about to respond to your text. You can't respond in the chat because some of these people are watching through other platforms. So if it's on the chat, then it's only people that are on this meeting who will be able to see the reply. But then the question, since now we're coming to Q&A, the question is from LinkedIn. They are asking how to register in SAIPA and how to prepare for the board exams through SAIPA.
Okay, thank you, Ndi, for that. So for you to register for the board, obviously you will have completed your degree. As a professional accountant, there's also steps. It's a journey as well. It's just that Edson with SAICA, he went too deep. I just brushed off my presentation. It's just brushing off, but there's also it's detailed as well. There's also hours you must logbooks. Also, you must go into. There's just it's a journey, honestly. But yeah, you're going to qualify after getting a degree and writing your doing your traineeship and also writing the professional level. Thanks. What's the other question, D?
The other question is how do you prepare for the board exams?
Right. So also with SAIPA, they offer the 18 months training for you to prepare you to qualify for the exam or to prepare you to write the exam. So that is called, it's here on the thing, it's called Project Achiever. So they launched the Project Achiever course, which takes 18 months for candidates to write the PE assessment to prepare you very well too, so that you can pass.
Okay, thank you for that. I'm not sure if there's any other, I'll just check quickly on the other platforms if there's any other questions. But I also received a question here. I think this would be set for both of you guys. I'm just going to quickly get it. The person is asking that during their second year, so they are asking how can a person doing financial science be a chartered accountant? I think this will be to Edson. Is it possible to do financial science and then end up as a chartered accountant?
Yeah, I'm reading it as that person is asking financial accounting science. So yeah, if one is doing financial accounting science, it's possible. What is key is that first thing one has to check with their university or with the university if that university is accredited. Mm-hmm. If the university is not accredited, it's not the end of the world. You might just have to do maybe an additional year at another university to in an accredited university. But obviously, you have to make sure that you go there with good marks. Otherwise, they might give you 2 years to make you ready for the SAICA program. And you would also realize that in some universities, they have now differentiated accounting into two. There's an accounting that is called accounting general. Then there's an accounting for the CA route, that is for the students that are aiming to qualify as chartered accountants. So they must also be able to make sure that they sit in the right place. So the best thing that I can advise that particular individual is to speak to their lecturers and also the head of the department to find exactly where their university is categorized from a SAICA point of view, and also if they are actually in the route from the class attendance point of view, if they're in the right class that is taking the CA route. So yeah, in many cases you find that people get surprised when they reach a particular point that no, they cannot pursue the CA route because the qualification that they've been doing is still accounting, but it's not the it's not an accredited qualification to take the CA route. So that is quite key. Thank you.
Thank you for that. I'm not sure how you guys are going to answer this one, but it's from Yurisa on LinkedIn. She asks, what designation can you obtain by using SAICA? I'm not sure who can ask, who can answer that one.
Sorry, can you repeat again?
What designation can you obtain by using SAICA? I guess maybe they want to ask, what can you do with SAICA?
Right, yes. So SAICA is another, I'll take that one. SAICA is another accounting association. It was called Southern African Business Accountants, but it's changed now to Chartered Business Accountants. So the designation you're going to get there is Chief Financial Officer designation, basically. I'm not so sure how what is required on there because I'm not on their board, but that's what it entails.
Okay, so it's more of the business.
Yes, they also have their own designation. Obviously, they will follow their own route as well, but they it's not like SAICA or SAICA. It's a bit different. Okay. You must already be, I don't know, somewhere with your experience and your qualification, and they just give you that designation.
Okay, so I'm just going to also just ask some of the questions that some other people might also have. It's interesting that we have you guys from different boards. And for someone like myself, who's not really knowledgeable about what's happening in the accounting profession, I've always been curious on the difference between SAICA and SAICA. What is the difference? And, you know, I don't know. I don't know who wants to take that one.
Edson, let me take it first, then you'll just add on it. So SAICA is the same as, because on SAICA, they also have chartered accountants and general accounting. So with SAICA, if you measure it, it's on the same level as general accounting, because they're on SAICA side. You, to be a general accountant, you just have to finish your degree, have done your traineeship, and you qualify instantly. That's the same. It's on the same level with SAICA. And if you want to go higher with your audit and everything, that's when you're going to do your chartered accountant.
And then
you can add on it.
Yeah, so you would realize also that there are other professional bodies that are offering related professional, maybe let me call it professional designations. Yes. Even CIMA.
CIMA, ACA, CPA.
CPA, so there are quite a lot of them. But you would find that at the end of the day, one has to assess in terms of what gives them the best, or what gives them exactly what they want from a carrying that designation, and assess and look in the industry to see if you have got ACCA or if you have got CIMA, what is there that is available for you in the industry? Is it an area that you need to venture in? And it's quite important also to notice that accounting is not like medicine, where you can only be a doctor, a physician. You can only be a doctor if you've got a you qualified as a doctor. In accounting, you can still be a chartered accountant, not solely a chartered accountant. You can still be a finance manager. You can still be a CFO, even just with a BCom degree. Because each and every company, they've got their own requirements, their own expectations, and but it also, you know, one needs to look and say, what are the opportunities that are available to me if I carry a particular qualification, and what kind of influence do I want to carry into the accounting space and into the business, and then they have to look at it from that point of view. Thanks very much.
Yes, just to add on that, you realize that also into the accounting field, there are also a lot of ways you could be an auditor, you can be in financial management, you can be in taxation. So honestly, like Edson said, you have to know which route you want to follow or take. It's very important to clarify that at an early age.
So I take that from the beginning, if you want to end up in the accounting profession, you need to also look in where exactly you want to end up. What positions do you aspire to have in future? And then that will determine which route you would take, like which board to register with or write the board exam with. And that's what I'm taking from your guys' conversation. Am I correct?
Yes, yeah, that's correct.
Correct. Also in your specialty, what you want to specialize in, that's very important.
Okay. So yeah, I think that this is quite informative. I'm not sure if Melissa, you have any other question that you think people might want to ask?
Yes, indeed. So I think it would be, I don't know if you'd be able to answer this one, Edson. I know that there are a couple of people that go through the N route. I've heard a couple of people that have gone through the N route, N6. Is that a feasible route and to get to the chartered accountant profession? And if one is already in that route, how do they then take the quickest way possible to get themselves into the chartered accountant stream?
Yeah, so if you have done the N route, which I believe is the TVET qualification, I think I would go back to the criteria from a high school point of view, in terms of how one end up at a TVET and at a university. You'd realize that when your qualification comes from your high school certificate comes, it indicates whether you're going to be bachelor's or you're going to be higher certificate, you're going to be diploma. So when you go the N route, you might find that you might have taken a path that is a bit far from the CA route. Because the CA route, it's a route that goes via the university. You might have gone a bit far, but it might take you a bit longer to arrive. That means from that end route, now you need to still get your degree. And you might find that maybe depending on how the university assesses you, maybe they might say you have got your N, which is your certificate. Now you need to get your diploma. Then after diploma, maybe you need to get a degree, which now eventually puts you into the CA qualification. So it will just depend. But it suffice to also note that I know, for example, there are people that are coming from ARCA. I've forgotten now how to pronounce that designation, ARCA. There are people that have done ARCA. SAICA established a route of people who are carrying the ACA professional qualification to also become CASAs or become CAs, if I just put it that way. So you might find that from that en route, you might go the ACA route, because I realized that the ACA route, it might not be as rigorous as the CA route. It might actually be sort of another quicker way of arriving at that point, from N then to ACA, then from ACA then to CA. That might actually work as well. Thank you.
Another thing is, you can also belong to all these professional bodies if you want to. Some professional bodies, they're going to credit you for obviously being from another professional body. Like in for SEMA as well, I don't think you need a straight degree for that. You can start with SEMA straight. After your matric, you do your levels. You're going to do operational level, strategic level. It depends, really. You have to identify which professional body you want to follow and fall in.
Okay. No, that's quite informative. I guess this is it. Unless there's any other questions that Zama you would like to ask, because when I'm looking at, there isn't any other questions to ask.
Nothing on my side. Thank you very much, everybody.
All right. Thank you so much, guys, for taking your time and preparing this information. I know it's going to come in handy for someone who is looking on their career prospects. And I would like to say it's not too late to go get what you want. This is not necessarily only for, it's catering for everyone, basically, for young people who are in high schools and young people who are starting their university, and adults as well who want to move to a different career. So it's still possible. And thank you so much, guys, for making time to speak to us with us this valuable information. Any last words that you'd like to say before we close?
From my side, it's just to say, the CA qualification and any other qualification for that matter, it's possible. It's not something that we must always look at and say we cannot be able to do. The good thing is that also there's quite a lot of mentoring that is actually happening, especially from the SAICA space, that helps individuals if they want to find a way of getting into this qualification or into this professional environment. So always be on the lookout on the SAICA website as well, and even on the IBA website. You get quite a lot of information that helps you to get into the professional environment. Thank you.
Deborah?
Thank you, Ndi. From my side, I will close on to say, I've got this phrase I always live by. It goes like, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. So the company that you keep is very important at an early age. You have to identify. Thank you.
Thank you very much for those who are also listening from watching from different platforms, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. These videos will still be available even after this broadcast, so you can always go back and look to this valuable information that has been shared. If you have questions, if you'd like the slides, kindly go to info@youthevolve.co.za. The information has been going on the live transmission on our upcoming events. We'll also share soon the next information session that will be coming by the end of this month, I think next week or so. We'll have the second information session, which will be titled Free to Dominate, which will be focusing on freedom. And since we're celebrating South Africa, we're celebrating Freedom Day, what that means for us as young Africans. And yeah, connect with us on all social media platforms. We love hearing from you, and we enjoy hearing what you'd like to see from us as well. Thank you so much, and have a great night.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, bye.
Cheers, bye.
And that was it for now. Thank you for listening to Youth Evolve Podcast. Catch you next time.